Shaul said to the Keni, Lechu suru redumi toch Amaleki, go, turn away, go down from the midst of Amalek, pen osit ha imo, lest I destroy you with him. The Atah Sisa Chesed and Kovanei Yisrael, you did kindness with all of the children of Israel. Ba'alot Tamim Mitzrayim, they went out of Egypt. Yosar Keni mitoch Amalek, and Keni removed himself from the midst of Amalek. Who are the Keni? We said the Keni, this is the family of Yitro. Is this the first time in history where Amalek and Yitro are juxtaposed one next to the other? No. The very first time that they appear, the battle with Amalek is at the very end of Parshat Beshalach. Vayavo Amalek, Amalek came, Vayilochem in Yisrael v'defidim, and he waged war with Israel in Rephidim. And Moshe said to Yoshua, Bechar lo anoshim, choose men, go out and wage war with Amalek. And they waged war, and then God says, Yadau keis yom milchom al Hashem v'Amalek midor dor, God wages eternal war with Amalek forever. The very next pasuk, that's the end of Parshat Beshalach. What's the next pasuk? Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan, Yitro the Kohen of Midyan, heard all that God had done for the Jewish people. The famous Rashi that says, what mashmua shoma upa, what was it that he heard? And as I'm saying this, every one of these words becomes important. I'm giving you a hint as to the key to unlock this parasha. We'll get back to this, and if I don't, somebody will remind me. What did he hear? He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea and Milchemet Amalek, and the war with Amalek. So here we have the end of Parshat Beshalach is Amalek, right next to him is Yitro. Not only do they appear next to one another in place in Torah, but it may very well be that Yitro was placed there by Torah as the antithesis of Amalek. Amalek is the one who does evil with the Jewish people. Yitro is the one who does kindness with them. Amalek, one extreme. Yitro, the other extreme. Amalek is forever damned. Yitro, in a number of places in Tanakh, we will always remember the kindness of Yitro. Of people alone out in the desert, one person comes out to say, Baruch Hashem, thank God for what you did. The Ramban, at the beginning of Parshat Yitro, says the following. There is a famous machloket in the Gemara. Did Yitro come to the desert before Torah was given, or did he come to the desert after Torah was given? Let's for a moment assume that he came to the desert after Torah was given. Then there's of course a big question. The whole story of Yitro appears in the Torah, in of all places Parshat Yitro, immediately before the giving of Torah. Why isn't it the story of Yitro written after the giving of Torah, so that Torah should follow a chronological order? Says the Ramban, do you know why Torah wrote this out of order? Because they wanted to place Yitro right after Amalek. They're not all against us. There are the Amaleks of this world, and there are the Yitros of this world. And just as you have a responsibility to destroy the evil that is represented by Amalek, you have the responsibility of acting with kindness and goodness to repay the great debt that we owe Yitro. And the Ramban says, you'll see it in history. Where are you going to see it in history? Right here. Yes, you're going to go out to Amalek, but remember the kindness that you owe to, the kindness that was done by Yitro, what you owe him. But for Shaul, it now becomes a more serious problem. That means there's now a clash of emotions. He has to go out and utterly destroy a people, and at the same time that he has to work himself up to fulfill that mitzvah, pity, compassion, kindness, all of these emotions now with regard to Yitro. So there's a struggle that's going on in the mind of Shaul, and Shaul has to overcome. He has to overcome. It would seem to us in the next pasuk he has done precisely that. The mitzvah of the destroying Amalek is difficult without any other difficulties added to it. Yes, we can intellectualize it. As we said, irrational evil, there's no way to deal with it except to destroy it utterly. And who knows that better than the Jews of this century? There is a phenomenon called irrational evil. There's rational evil. There are people who steal and maybe even who kill with some kind of reason. You can reason with people of reason. You can't reason with unreasonable people. You can't deal rationally with irrational people. There is a phenomenon of irrational evil in the world, and the Torah says that there's only one way to deal with it, and that's to destroy it. It's not an easy mitzvah. It's not easy to be a Jew. It's not easy to be a king of Israel who now is charged with the responsibility of performing this great, great mitzvah. Very difficult. And especially here, he has studied Shaul in preparation for going out to battle. Not only did he sit with his generals, he also took out a Torah. It says, the king, the responsibility is that a king has to write a Sefer Torah for himself. As king, in addition to the Sefer Torah that he has as a Jew, as an individual Jew. And there's one Sefer Torah that remained at home and one that he took with him wherever he went. I'm sure that on his way to battle, he's going over the parshas of war. And there he comes to the parsha of Egla Arufa. So he's caught with these conflicting emotions. But he overcomes. Vayach Shaul et Amalek. Shaul smote Amalek mechavila boach Ashur from Chavila until the entrance to Shur Asher Alpanei Mitzrayim, which is near Mitzrayim. Vayitkoset Agag melech Amalek, and he grabbed Agag, the king of Amalek, chai alive. Vekol ha'om hecherim l'tichorev, and the entire people he destroyed utterly by the sword. Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'om al Agag. Va'almeit ha'batzol. Shaul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and the bakar, the cattle, Bahamishnim, the fat sheep, Balakodim, the fat cattle, Balkolatov, and the good things below Abu Acharimam, and they didn't want to destroy them. And all that which was disgusting or not good, that they destroyed. Okay. One of the words, we pointed out one of the words to unlock the chapter is, of course, the pasuk, the word in pasuk 3, v'lo tachmol, you shall not spare. The word appears a second time now, and we're not finished. Vayachamol ha'am, shol v'ham, they spared. And we said the difference between rachamim, mercy, and chenla, rachamim is an emotion, chenla is an act of intellect. A person comes in and nabach, he looks sick, we overcome with pity and we give him. And then there are times when we make intellectual decisions. Here it is an intellectual decision. The intellectual decision may very well be fueled by the idea that Egla Arufa, the fact that he has had compassion and mercy on the people of the Canaan. Okay, that's the story. Yes. She's asking, there's no motive. Why did he spare him? Maybe we have to ask another question at this point. What did he plan on doing with him? Did he plan on rehabilitating him? Did he plan on shaking his hand on the White House lawn? What did he plan on doing with Agag? There were no prisoners. Yes? All right, good. We're going to see. Watch. Let me maybe begin an approach right now. What do you think is the most painful and humiliating thing you can do to an arch foe? Kill him or capture him? Shaul, toward the end of his life, he sees the enemy attacking and he's frightened that he's going to fall into the hands of the enemy. Do you know what Shaul tells his armor bearer? Run me through so that I don't fall into their hands.
and then he falls on his own sword, he commits suicide rather than fall into the hands of the enemy. Which is worse? Does being captured necessarily mean as what happened by Achav? By Achav, he takes him up onto the chariot and he says, Achio, brother, and he enters into an agreement. That was not Shaul's intent, and maybe I'll give you a few minutes to see as we go through another few psukim how I know that that was not his intent. Watch. Vayehid van Hashem el Shmuel lemo, the word of God came to Shmuel, so saying, Nicham tikim lachti et Shaul melech, I regret that I made Shaul king, ki shav me'acharai, because he turned from behind me, that the varai lo hekim, he did not fulfill my words. Vayichal Shmuel, Shmuel was very angry, vayizak el Hashem kol alayla, and he cried out, he screamed out to God all night. Who's he angry with? Who's he angry with? Wait a minute. With himself? If he's angry with himself, this is misplaced anger. I think he has to go to Chaya Sarah Brand's, what she have over there? How to do deal with anger? Transform your anger into positive action. Who's he angry with? Who's he crying? He's crying all night to whom? Not to Shaul, to God. So what? Is it God's fault? What does he want? He's angry with himself and therefore he cries out to God? No, he's challenging God's decision. Why is he challenging God's decision? If Shaul simply did not fulfill the words of God, so what can you do? So what you should do is turn around and go to Shaul and say, Shaul, you ruined everything. You had such great promise, such awesome potential. Shaul is challenging God. Because he thinks that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Maybe Shaul didn't do something as terrible as we think he did. Watch. Ayashtem Shmuel lekrat Shaul, Baboken Shmuel got up toward Shaul in the morning. You got the Shmuel lemar. And Shmuel was told so, saying, Bo Shaul ha Carmela. Shaul came to Carmel, behinim matzim lo yad. He is building a mizbeach there, an altar by Yisov, by Yavor, by Yedet, by Gilgal. He turned, he went down, he came down to Gilgal, by Yavor, Shmuel, O Shaul. And Shmuel came to Shaul. Now listen to this. Vayomel, O Shaul. Shaul says to Shmuel, he gives him a report of the battle. Baruch atol Hashem, blessed are you to God. Hakimoti et Dvar Hashem. I have fulfilled the words of God. Now, one thing is certain. Shaul is not lying. Shaul knows Shmuel is a Navi. Not only that, there is a soul relationship between Shaul and Shmuel. And even if there wouldn't be that great relationship, you stand before the greatest living Jew, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanov u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. You could just stand in front of him and in festive manner say, I have fulfilled the words of God. Do you know why he says it? Because he believes it. He believes be'emuna shlema that he fulfilled the words of God. Now, that's incomplete. Contradistinction to what were the words of God to Shmuel? At Dvarai lo hekim, he did not fulfill my words. Shaul is not lying. Shaul is absolutely certain he has fulfilled the words of God. Vayom is Shmuel, and Shmuel says, something you have to listen to here. Ume kol hatzon. And what is the sound of the sheep in my ears, the kol habakar, and the sound of the cattle asher anochi shomea that I hear? You're going to see how important this is going to be. I also, at times, think, usually the word is more. Why is it meh? There is always in Tanakh you will hear sounds. There are sounds. Umeh kol hatzon. What is the sound of the sheep in my ears? By Yom Shaul. Shaul responds without making excuses. Me Amaleki Hevion. They brought it for Amalek. Asher Chamal, for the third time that word. Asher Chamal Ha'am Ametaratzor Aboka. The people spared, and I think the word spared here is an excellent translation. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle, Leman Zvoach L'Hashem Elokecha, in order to bring a sacrifice to God your God. It's serious. He means this seriously. That was clearly the intent. That Hayoten and the rest, Hecharam, we destroyed. Shaul does not see what he has done wrong. And I'm telling you, you know the stage that I want to get you to? I want to bring you to the stage where you won't understand what Shaul did that was wrong. If we say on one level that capturing the leader of a great people, captivity is worse than death, could not Shaul have thought that, this is as good as destroying? And what do you think he planned on doing with him? What he really planned on doing with him was what they were planned on doing with the sheep. Not kill him today, so we'll kill him tomorrow. He will be executed. What do you think? He's Demayuk. They're going to let him go back to Cleveland, to Amalek. What do you think he's going to do with Agog? He's going to destroy Agog. So not today during the battle, I'll do it tomorrow. You know what you have to notice? That I don't think many people notice. Not once in this perek does Shmuel condemn Shaul for not having killed Agog. Mekol Atzol. Agog? Sure he plans on killing Agog. The cattle, of course they're going to be used as a sacrifice. More than that. You'll take a look in Shulchan Aruch, you're going to find that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek applies only to men, women, and children. In Torah never does it say that you have to destroy the cattle. According to many of the poskim, the halacha of destroying the cattle was a unique halacha at this particular moment from the prophet to the king. It's not a halacha that applies in all times. This was a special mitzvah, hora'at sha'ah. Shaul has the right to think that this is a mitzvah on me that is not incumbent upon the rest of the people. They spared, and they had the right to make a decision to spare the cattle in order to bring it as a sacrifice. I'm going to have you in a few minutes now. I'm going to have you on Shaul's side. If Agog, he doesn't plan to keep him around, but he doesn't plan. Agog is going to be a show trial. He's going to make it clear, Cain, Yovdu, Kola, Yevecho, this is the way the enemy of God is to be destroyed. The cattle are going to be brought in great festive manner as a offer of thanksgiving to God. So, Vaz Vilmin from Shaul, what do we want from the man's life? Vayome Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Hedef, wait. Va'agid alochot asher diber Hashem elai halayla. I'm going to tell you what God said to me tonight. Vayome lo taber. He said to him, speak. Vayome Shmuel. Shmuel said, hello, katon atobe inecho. If you are small in your own eyes, Rosh Shifte Yisrael ato, you are the head of the tribes of Israel. Vayim shachacho Hashem lemelech Yisrael, and God is the one who anointed you as a king over Israel. Vayishlachacho Hashem bedorech, and God sent you on the road. He sent you on this mission. Vayom, and he said, Leich v'hecheramta tachatoyim et Amalek, go destroy the sinners Amalek v'nilchamtabo, and wage war with him ad kalotamotam, until you destroy them. V'lono lo shamato v'kol Hashem, why didn't you listen to the voice of God? V'atat el hashalal, and you pounced upon the spoil. V'atas horabe eni Hashem, you did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Vayom shaul el Shmuel, Shaul honestly doesn't understand. He's not playing games over here. These are serious people speaking to one another about an extremely serious matter. We're not talking about a Shaul who simply wants to maybe shift responsibility or is blinded from his own
terrible, terrible mistake. He doesn't really understand. He doesn't understand. Vayomer Shaul al Shmuel. Shaul said to Shmuel, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem. I listened to the voice of God. Vo'eleh baderech, and I went on the road, Asher shlochami Hashem, that God sent me. And proof of it? Vo'aviet Agog melech Amalek. I brought Agog, king of Amalek, that Amalek hechadanti, and I destroyed Amalek. Didn't he know that God said destroy? So what's he saying? I listened. I did. I fulfilled. I heard the words of God. Take a look at what I did. I brought Agog, and Amalek I destroyed. Obviously, we must say, he has absolutely no intention of leaving Agog alive forever. And on the contrary, as we say, it may very well be that his present incarceration and imprisonment is a fate even worse than death, until such time that he's going to be put to death. That's as far as I'm concerned. Vayikach ha'am me'asholo, Pasuk 21, and the people took from the spoiled zone ubakar, sheep and cattle, rachis, the very best of the chedem, of that which should have been destroyed. Lizborach l'ashem ulekecha ba'gilgal, to bring as a sacrifice to God your God in Gilgal. How are we to understand this? That the man simply is blinded, or no? I understand Shaul very well. What did we do over here? What's so terrible? Why? What was the command? And what happens if the battle takes 3 days? So that means it will take 3 days until all are utterly destroyed. The battle took 1 day. Next day, all of the cattle that they left alive is going to be brought as sacrifices. On the third day, Agog is going to be put to death. During the course of 3 days, everybody is destroyed. What was wrong here? What does he want from Shaul? Remember, I'm trying to read, and I think I'm not terribly wrong. It's not necessarily a weakness on Shaul's part. Shaul halachically sees it this way. There is no mitzvah to destroy the cattle, and if the people want, but for frumer reasons, don't you understand? If, let's say, let's, I'm Shaul, and you're the Am. You know, I think I better do both. I'll be Shaul, and I'll be the Am. Why are you taking the cattle? Shouldn't you destroy it? We plan on destroying it. But take a look at the great victory we had, Shaul. We want to bring this as a sacrifice. When are you going to bring it as a sacrifice? So tomorrow we're going to bring it. Oh, tomorrow? Fine. What's wrong? Huh? You know what? So I'll even be ready to go along with you. You know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to go along with you. Have I at least succeeded in doing one thing? I have diminished considerably the sin of Shaul. Is he that bad? If God thinks so, and Shaul, the great Shaul, is not convinced of it, then we are talking not about a mere sin of open and clear disobedience. We're talking about a sin of a much, much finer sort. This is the point that I want to make. I wouldn't understand it, and I don't think you should understand it. And I'm going to show you the key words that are going to make all the difference in the world over here. And maybe you can think, if you want to take the risk of telling me what you think of the... we'll learn another few psukim. Then let's see, what are the key words? What are the... Yes? A few psukim, and we'll begin to tie it up. So now, we already have... remember, in Pasuk 13, Shaul is the one who approaches Shmuel and says, blessed are you to God, I have fulfilled the word of God. Shmuel asks him, what's the sound of the sheep? So he says, quite openly, there's no hesitation on his part, the people brought it from Amalek in order to
bring a sacrifice. Shmuel tells him, you did a terrible thing. God sent you on the way. You didn't listen to the voice of God. Shaul still doesn't understand. In Psukim 20 and 21, Shaul says to Shmuel, I did listen to the words of God. What do you want? I went on the road that he sent me. Remember, he's quoting in Psukim 20, he's quoting the words of Shmuel. Shmuel said, by Yishloch Achor Hashem Baderech, and God sent you on the road. And you didn't go on that road. And Shaul says, I did travel precisely the road that he sent me. These people, are they not? They simply don't understand each other. We're talking about two great men. They don't understand one another. Shaul doesn't seem to understand Shmuel at all. Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Hachefetz laHashem ba'olot uzvachim." Do you think God wants sacrifices kishmoah as He wants that one should hear Kol Hashem, the voice of God? Hinei shmoah, to hear mizevach tov is better than sacrifice. Lahakshiv, to hearken, is better than chelev elim, the fat of the rams. To listen to God, that's more important. Ki chatas kesem meri, this is one of the difficult psukim in Tanakh. Ki chatas kesem meri, the sin of sorcery is an act of rebellion. Vo'oven utrofim haftzar, the one who is stubborn, it's like idolatry and trafim. In other words, what he's telling him is, by not listening, you're doing something akin to a rejection of God. There's rebelliousness. You don't listen, there's rebelliousness. And therefore, Yan Ma'asta, Dvar Hashem, because you disdain the word of God, Vayimaschami Melech, he has disdained you from being king. Vayomer Shaul El Shmuel, Shaul said to Shmuel, Chatasi, I sinned. Finally. By Pesach 24, Ki avarti et pi Hashem, I transgressed the mouth of God, ved vorecha, and your words. Ki yoreti et ha'am, v'yashmata kolam, I feared the people, and I listened in their voice. Yes? Huh? It would seem, as we read this Pesach, that he is more people-fearing than he is God-fearing. And I think I understood it that way for many years. But remember, I introduced this year by saying that we have to be very, very careful. I have enough nightmares about the situation in Eretz Yisrael. I don't have to have nightmares about having judged Shaul unkindly. I'm not taking any chances. Shaul is the chosen one of God. Shaul, next to Shmuel, is the greatest living Jew. Shaul is the first one who is appointed and anointed as a king over Israel. We have to begin with that premise. God doesn't simply choose people who are going to fail so miserably. Doesn't. I mean, this would be a bit of an indictment of God as well. There's something to be learned over here. In a word, I'm going to take you on a second journey through the Perek. And you're going to travel baderech on the road that I'm going to take you. And what we have to understand is the following. There's the Word of God. I'm going to distinguish between the Word of God and the voice of God. Dvar Hashem and Kol Hashem, the Word of God and the voice of God. The Word of God means the words that are uttered by God to fulfill them. But there are times at which the great man has to be able to distinguish and discern not only the Word of God, he also has to be able to be tuned in sufficiently to hear the voice of God. The voice of God represents the spirit of the halacha. There is the charge, the imperative, the command, and then there's the spirit behind it. Watch. I have just now unlocked the parak, and watch how it's going to happen. Let's go back to the beginning of the parak.
In the very first pasuk, Shmuel says to Shaul, God sent me to anoint you as king over his people Israel. Ato now, Shma lekol divrei Hashem. Listen to the voice of the words of God. Not only the words, there's a voice to the words too. Be tuned in to the nuances.
Ko Omar Hashem Tzakot Patarati et Asher Os Amalek. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Asher Samlo Baderech, that he placed himself on the road. Balotom Yitzchayim, now go Vehikita et Amalek, hit Amalek, Vahacharamt et Kol Ashalo, and destroy him utterly.
Later on again, Shmuel is going to say to Shaul, God sent you on a mission. When God sends man on a mission, let us take it from the point of view of the halacha. There's a halacha of shlichut. I send somebody to do something for me. That person, somebody else, can act for me. But shlucho shel adam, the messenger of man, has to be kimoto, like the one who sent. Which means that if Shaul is being sent by God, he is the messenger of God to fulfill this mitzvah. Because remember, milchom al Hashem b'Amalek, God is the one who wages war with Amalek through man. Then the one who is receiving the order has to be sensitive not only to the words, but there's a spirit behind it. And the spirit is, you are the one who has to express the anger of God. The anger of God can be expressed only by the total, utter destruction of Amalek, now. He heard the words. He didn't hear the voice. Watch. I think that it's very beautiful in Pasuk 4. In Pasuk 4, it's, I believe, the only place in Tanakh where we are told that a people are gathered. There are so many different words that are used to describe a people being gathered. This is the only place where the word that's used is Vayishama Shaul et Ham. He let them hear. No, he sent out the word. Let them hear. It may very well be that he's communicating with his people also through the idea of listening. You know what the intent is. Important battle. And 210,000 men, they hear Shmuel. They Shaul, and they gather for battle. Alright, Pasuk 5, Pasuk 6, 7, alright, 8, Pasuk 10. Vayidvar Hashem el Shmuel lemo, the word of God came to Shmuel saying, Nichamti ki imlachti et Shaul, I regret that I've made Shaul king, ki shov me acharai, vedvorai lo hekim. You're going to understand this soon. He has not fulfilled my words. God says he hasn't fulfilled my words. When God says he has not fulfilled my words, it means the fulfillment of the words of God require hearing not only the words, but with the words of God goes the voice of God, the sound of God, the intent. You have to know that you are the messenger of God's wrath and God's anger. Shmuel gets up in the morning. He comes toward Shaul. Shaul says, what does Shaul say? Hakimoti et devar Hashem. I fulfill the word of God. I can tell you pshat in everything God said to me, and I have fulfilled his words. There's no doubt about it. And most probably in halacha, Shaul can make an excellent and maybe a perfect and exemplary case that he has fulfilled the words of God. So our God will be killed tomorrow. So captivity is worse than death. The animals will be brought as sacrifices and they're as good as dead.
Shaul, Pasuk 16, Shmuel says to Shaul, wait and I will tell you what God said. Vayomelo, Shaul's not afraid. He says, Daber, speak. Vayomer, Shmuel halon katan ato beinecho.
You are the greatest. And therefore God anointed you as a king and he sent you badarach. The word badarach, by the way, is another extremely important word. we talked about God says about Amalek, I remember that which Amalek did to you on the road when you went out of Egypt. Huh? The idea that the sneak attack on the road has to be repaid and punished with utter destruction. And therefore, you should wage war with them until you destroy them. The destruction must come as a result of the battle. And you didn't do this. V'loma lo shamata b'kol Hashem. Do you hear Pasuk 19? Sha'ol. Technically, you're right. Halachically, you can write a sefer pointing out that what you did was correct. But why didn't you hear the voice of God? Didn't you hear the wrath and the anger? Didn't you hear that God wants you to be His messenger? Is it possible a few psukim earlier when Shmuel says to Shaul, "Ume kol hatzon v'kol haboga," what's the sound? Asher anochi shomer, what's the sound of the sheep and the cattle that I hear? I hear sounds. They're not only words, there are sounds. There's not only the letter of the law, there's the spirit of the law. In Pasuk 20, Shaul still doesn't see Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel Asher shomati b'kol Hashem. Says, I did hear the voice of God. That's the way I understood it. And I went on the road that God sent me. And I brought a gun, and he sees this as proof that he did it. Vayomer Shmuel, Pasuk 22. Hechofetz l'Hashem ba'olos u'zvachem, does God want olos u'zvachem as much as he wants? Kishmoa b'kol Hashem. To listen to the voice of God. Lahakshiv, to hearken. There is not only the Dvar Hashem, there is the Kol Hashem. And as a melech, we expected of you to hear the voice. And therefore, no chachmas, utter destruction. Pasuk 24. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. Shaul said to Shmuel, Chotasi, ki avarti et pi Hashem. I transgressed the mouth of God. What comes out of the mouth of God? Dibur et kol. From the mouth of God come the words of God and come the voice of God. What he requires, what he demands, and what his intent and what his purpose is. Shaul finally hears. He hears. He's finally tuned in. Avarti et pi Hashem v'edvarecha. And therefore he says, maybe he's now saying that on some subconscious level, yareiti et ha'am v'eshma b'kolam. Their voice I heard. By v'eshma b'kolam, it doesn't mean that he was, you know, all frightened of the arm. What did he hear? He heard that they wanted to thank God. They wanted to take the best of the sheep and the cattle for what? In order to bring as a sacrifice, Baruch Hashem, the great victory. V'eshma b'kolam doesn't mean, as we would on a superficial level understand it, that Shaul is a king who's frightened of the people. The people want, and therefore he's going to do it. But he's unconcerned about what God wants. That's not what it means. V'eshma b'kolam means, I heard their need. I felt and I understood their intent. They needed to run to the Kaisel now. They needed to do something that would express their sense of relief and thanksgiving. I heard them. Should not at all be understood as poor frightened Shaul. He's not so frightened. I didn't hear the mouth of God. I didn't get that intent. Yes. That's precisely what I believe the Pasuk is saying. He was more sensitive and tuned in to the needs of the people or what it was that was going on in their minds. But it should not be read
as it would be read on the superficial level, that Nagach poor Shaul, you can push him around. You can push him around. Just get one Yossi Beilin over there, and he's running ragged. No siree. No siree. Yes. Saying very good. And that's why the word chemla is repeated, because Shaul himself is suffering from chemla, so he can relate to the chemla of the Am. Vayachmol ha'am, and God in advance knows this is the serious problem. The problem over here is going to be not evil, but not being able to hear what God's intent is because of this chemla. Ve'eshma b'kolam, again I say it, because because I'm doing tshuva. All of the years that I learned the pasuk, and I sort of, he listened to the people, as though Shaul is frightened of the people. What do you mean frightened of the people? We're talking about a man that despite all of his misgivings and despite the inner struggle that was going on within him, he immediately went about it, and by Yah, he smote them, Mechavilah, Barak, or Shur. But he just didn't get the full intent. Yato sono et chatosi, forgive my sin, v'shuv imi, and return with me, v'eshtachava la Hashem, and I will bow down to God. I will sum up the study of this parak. I hope that we have shown Shaul in a completely different light than one might have looked at him otherwise. I think different than what it was when we walked in here. We're not talking about a clear and blatant act of rebelliousness against God. Perish the thought, no such thing is taking place over here. We're talking on a completely different level. Of Shaul, it is required that he should be able to be sensitive to the voice of God. Not the kind of thing that we would require of the man in the street. And the leader of Israel, if he's not sensitive to the sounds that emanate from God, the intent of God, then he can't be king. We expected more of him. Would we expect it of anybody else? Absolutely not. This was something that was expected of Shaul because he had that potential. He was great enough, but he failed. Is this a failure it would seem as though this is rebelliousness. Bad man, Shaul, God forbid. Just didn't achieve the level of the greatness that he could have achieved. What we have demonstrated over here is, number one, the approach to Shaul. But what is more important is the idea of key words in Tanakh. In every parsha, in Chumash, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, if you can focus in on the words, if it's a word that's out of place, if it's a word that doesn't seem to fit in that well, or if it's a word that keeps being repeated, the repetition of a word tells you, look at that word clearly. What does it mean? Certainly, shmia, kol, dibur, are words that are repeated in this perek in a way unusual. You don't find it in other perakim of Tanakh. And there are other, we will see other classic perakim in Tanakh where you can see, if once you find the word and you understand the word, or the moment you hear the sound of the word, if you are able to be shomea the kol divrei hanavi, then you're going to be able to understand the parak. This was required of Shaul. It was not required of others. Where I said at the outset, we're going to learn a whole parak. The end of the parak really is the end of Shaul. And the next parak begins with the anointment of David. But as I say, Shaul is still, there's going to be the struggle between Shaul and David, which is an extremely, extremely difficult difficult to understand. We'll deal with it. Yes?
Is this going to mean the sense
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shows you how sensitive he was. The fact that he was so sensitive to the nation's need shows what a great king, leader of people he was.
And all that he needed was just a little bit more sensitivity to the words of God. But to me, it's most important that a perek in Tanakh cannot be read in a superficial manner. You read it in a superficial manner, you're left with such wrong impressions, and we walk around with these wrong impressions for a lifetime. We can't shake ourselves loose. That's why Jerusalem College for Adults is an extremely important and significant. You have to relearn Tanakh. You have to learn Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim on an adult level. All that we remember are the stories, the childhood stories of the Bible. And the only way to do it is through the text. You have to let the text speak to you. That's the most important thing.
Well, this is not a bad shiur, if I must say so myself.
What?